Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Time for KER Politics. Got a really good show lined up for this week. Some very interesting things going on in America that Jimmy and I are going to opine on. And I know that our regular bloggers also have some opinions on what's going on. I'm going to talk a little bit about what's going on with Merrick Garland. I simply do not understand how somebody like Hunter Biden can be totally shadowed, I guess I would have to say, from some of the things that we know he has done. I would imagine that shadowing would also be in fact in existence with the president, and that's a little bit too bad. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Menendez in the second segment. That's a pretty strange situation as far as I'm concerned. Then we're going to go into the Ukraine, which continues to be probably the major segment that's going on in the world. And then in the final segment, we're going to wrap up everything we've been talking about. Jimmy, you want to add to that?
No, I think we just kind of will roll through those topics. Yeah. I think, you know, this Garland hearings this week and a lot of other political issues are crazy. Menendez, there's a lot of stuff behind the scene with what's going on that. That's going to be headline news for a while. There's some very interesting behind-the-scene politics to consider with Menendez. And, of course, Ukraine, there's some also very interesting politics behind the scenes as Poland backs out of a little bit of support. And, of course, what's happening with Gavin Newsom, what's happening with Trump, what's happening with the different campaigns. I think all that is very interesting, and you know, people ought to consider what's happening out there as we watch the collapse of civilization, it appears. I don't know.
You bet. You know, Jimmy, I have to say, after almost 90 years looking at politics, my confusion gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the reason I say that is there are some topics, most of the political topics right now, I understand them very well, but I simply don't know how things can come down that way in supposedly the greatest country in the world. The one that really, really gets me is the fact that Merrick Garland can answer questions regarding Hunter Biden simply by saying, I'm not going to answer those questions, period. What's the we know what the reason for that is, Jimmy, but opine on that, would you?
Yeah, so the Department of Justice got themselves into a very deep bind right now, and that's primarily because Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice have gone out of their way, along with other previous Departments of Justice, to protect certain political individuals inside Washington, D.C. And, of course, Hunter Biden is the perfect example of that. And, of course, they're going after, strongly going after their political opponents and people that would question the power inside Washington. So what Garland had to do in front of the House Oversight Committee this week is face questions from Republicans, mostly conservatives, on how he's been operating the office. And there are factual events that show that he's targeting Americans while simultaneously protecting criminal activities from very powerful political individuals like Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. So those questions are coming forward, the facts are coming out, and the deeper they go into the problem, the more he has to divert and actually try to intimidate others in order to keep them silenced. And this is exactly how authoritarian leaders work, how they've always worked. And of course, he's claiming that now he's just defending the people and the government and the United States. But the reality is it's pretty clear he is bent over backwards in stifling David Weiss, the special prosecutor now, but formerly the Delaware prosecuting attorney there, the federal prosecutor there. And of course, David Weiss has gone out of his way to kind of help Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and not investigate. And that's becoming factually proven by documents from IRS whistleblowers that show that the Department of Justice had stonewalled investigations and interviews in order to allow very significant tax evasion situations expire for their over the statute of limitations. And of course, Merrick Garland can't answer these questions because if he does, he puts himself in a perjury situation. But it does look like he's getting more and more pressure, and there is apparently more and more media starting to pay attention to it, Al.
Yeah, more and more media is starting to pay attention to it. I would have to say, though, Jimmy, that the response that I get in my day-to-day life about some of these allegations are, that's just what there are. They are only allegations. There's no truth to them. I actually had one person yesterday tell me, I think Merrick Garland is the most intelligent office holder that we've ever had.
Well, that, I mean, again, if you're manipulated by the media, that's the way you're going to perceive things. But here are the facts. The FBI, somebody in the Richmond, Virginia office wrote a paper calling Catholics, conservative Catholics, right-wing extremists, or domestic, yeah, potentially domestic terrorists. That's a fact. That document was out. That nobody has been fired for that incident. Merrick Garland tried to defend himself from that. But the reality is, you can't really defend yourself from some sort of from a factual document that came out from the FBI.
No.
You've got numerous cases where the FBI and the Department of Justice have failed to prosecute political allies of the Democratic Party, and numerous cases where they've bent over backwards to attack others. Now, we're going to go into the next segment. We're going to talk about Menendez, and we're going to talk some of the background of why Menendez was targeted under the Obama administration's Justice Department and the potential that it could be a similar issue this way, but it looks like they've got the goods on him. But again, that shows the level of corruption in Washington, D.C., and the fact that the Department of Justice is really there to protect the Capitol and to protect the government, almost like the Capitol, like in the Hunger Games, protect them rather than actually protect the interests of the people, the best interests of the people. There's a lot of contradictory problems out there in the United States right now that the Department of Justice is proving to be the primary responsible power broker in, and he is not taking responsibility at an even keel for justice, and it's fairly clear. So anybody that makes the comment that he's the greatest guy out there is pretty naive.
Well, I have to agree with that, Jimmy, but I also want to say that it is so confusing to me right now, as I mentioned to you off mic before we started recording, it is so confusing to me how things could happen that are occurring in the United States right now. How could you have a president that has so many allegations against him for wrongdoing? I don't get it, Jim. How can that happen in America?
Well, you got to compare it. Under the Trump administration, the allegations were significant and constant. And again, the Russia collusion narrative, all of that information was speculative, leaked information from the FBI and the Department of Justice and political entities, which appeared to be a lot of corruption. So if you're looking at it from a Democrat, leftist side, you're seeing all these allegations and accusations, you think there's something to it. Now, what we're seeing on this term are similar types of information coming out, though the media is trying to suppress it rather than talk about it. They're trying to suppress it, and most of it is coming out with factual documentation.
Yeah.
So we're still seeing the suppression, but the wild allegations of the previous administration, they're similar in the number, but they're definitely different in the scope and the facts behind them.
I think they very definitely are. Jimmy, gotta take a real quick commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna be right back.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Our politics, we're going to talk a little bit now, moving from Merrick Garland and his testimony this week and some of the questions that came up on power of the Department of Justice, the FBI, to actually the contradictory argument, because Senator Bob Menendez, Democrat, New Jersey, has just been indicted in a massive indictment from the Southern District of New York. And very interesting what's happening out there because, again, we talk about Merrick Garland, Department of Justice, FBI, targeting their political enemies. Typically, that would mean the people that are on the opposing party. But this is not the first time that Senator Bob Menendez has been targeted by a Department of Justice from the Democrats. Under the Obama administration, the Department of Justice went after Menendez, and he was acquitted in a 2018 or 2019 trial. Took a long time to get over it, but he's a powerful senator, Al.
Yeah, I know.
And in fact, he is the chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. So a very powerful position, but let me tell you what Bob Menendez does not like. He was very strongly against the Obama-Biden administration's JCPOA, the program that gave over $100 billion to Iran in order to cut a peace deal so that they could go ahead and continue a slow move towards a nuclear weapon. He was absolutely adamantly against it.
Yeah.
And after that, he was indicted on these charges. Now, he's acquitted on that count. But now, the Department of Justice has announced a sweeping indictment that shows, and according to the evidence that they provided, that he was taking bribes from a halal meat company in New Jersey that was directly related to weapons sales to the Egyptian government. And in that situation, was given a large amount of cash, a large amount of money, and they have some specific instances where his wife was given a Mercedes, or at least helped pay for a Mercedes, and they found $480,000 in cash in his wife Nadine's safety deposit box, and another $100,000 in gold bars in their house. And
you know,
so it's a pretty damning indictment.
Yeah, it is. You know, Jimmy, you have to ask yourself, isn't all of this really fitting together? Maybe in the Menendez household, the conversations went something like this: if they can do it, we can do it.
Yeah, or maybe they started doing it a long time ago. So again, in this very powerful position, as the Senate Foreign Relations Committee chair, you have to think, is this information here directly related to the payoffs, or are these indictments somewhat spun? Because what is the Biden administration attempting to do again? They're attempting to reach out to Iran. They just gave them $6 billion for five hostages, $1.2 billion per hostage.
Yes, they did.
And
they made
of course,
the front page news. Hey, Jimmy, yeah. If they can do it, we can do it.
Well, and you know, that's what's the problem in D.C. overall, and it's not just Democrats. There are Republicans that get caught doing these things as well. The problem is just the hubris that you can get away with some of these different things. But when you upset the hierarchy for whatever reason, they're going to come after you in order to silence you. So you have to wonder what's actually going on politically behind the scenes. Was this had to do more with, the Department of Justice seeking some opportunity? Is there facts behind it? You have to take those questions into account. You have to look at it critically. It looks like, based on the information they have, that they're dead to rights. But we've seen this before. And again, I wonder what's going on, the politics behind the scenes, because what it requires him to do with a felony indictment against him, he has to withdraw from the Foreign Relations Committee chairmanship, which allows someone else to take leadership in the from the Democrats, and the Democrats will be able to push through other issues that he may have been hesitant to do. So, very crazy. But I don't be surprised if there's not more information that comes out from this later.
Jimmy, I got a question for you. Help me with my spelling. I don't understand how to spell Banana Republic, and I think that, yeah, it's getting to be very, very close to that situation in the United States, you know? I'm sorry I'm saying that, but I really feel that that's true.
New Jersey borders Delaware, right? There's a lot of corruption, and it borders New York. There is a lot of corruption out there, especially up in these northeast areas that have had power for such a long period of time. And unfortunately, the decisions to prosecute or not prosecute, the decisions to investigate, are based mostly on political power moves. They're not really based on what's best interest of the people.
Right.
I hate to question it, but I have to question it. And if I don't question it, then I'm just a sheep like everybody else. And that's the unfortunate reality. Too many people take things for face value today. So, with this, and again, that's the case with any banana republic, because any banana republic, they depend on propaganda and the power of the state in order to control people's views and ideologies.
I can't think of a better way right now to describe some of the events that are occurring in America currently, Jim, and have been occurring over the past, I would have to say, 7 to 9 years.
It really comes back. Honestly, if you, in my view, it goes back to the level of corruption and the public disinformation that was granted for the Obama administration, for him and for Obama to get elected. He campaigned, remember, he was for a man and a woman, for marriage. No, that changed. He was for, the Second Amendment. No, that changed. I mean, every single policy that he campaigned on to look like a moderate, hopeful guy was actually, it turned out to be not true as he went forward later on in the end of his tenure. And then, of course, he supported these very aggressive, progressive policies that have undermined the United States at a major, major level. And I'm sorry to see it. But I think that influence is carried forward because most of the people on the in the Biden administration are former Obama administration officials, and they're carrying on the same corrupt activities.
Couple of things are a shame here. President Obama had the ability to really, really push himself into greatness, and he didn't do it. Joe Biden really had the ability to do the same thing, to basically prove to the American people who kept him at the same level in terms of his offices, that they were wrong, that he should have been moved up a long time ago. They didn't do that. Hey, you guys, we're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time to continue on with KER Politics. You know, one of the most, I would have to say, important political events going on, and unique by the same token, political events going on in the world, which started a couple of years ago, is the war in the Ukraine. I was thinking from the very beginning of that particular conflict, I couldn't believe that Vladimir Putin actually went ahead and did that. It's getting worse and worse right now. Although, if you listen to the news on this particular situation, which I do, I have to say that it looks like Russia is kind of getting kicked. Kicked. What do you think, Jimmy?
So, since the Ukrainians have started the offensive, they've made small gains, but they have made gains. Russia, on numerous occasions, attempted to counterattack into certain areas, and they have actually not been able to successfully do that, which is interesting because you would expect them, especially with the manpower advantage and, of course, the large equipment advantage, to be able to successfully take some of these areas. But the reality is Ukraine's doing better. And the reason why Ukraine is surviving at all is because of U.S. and NATO support. They only exist right now because they're only surviving in this war because of a massive influx of U.S. dollars to support their government and their military activities. We've got over almost half or 50 billion dollars in direct military aid, and then there's been well over, 60, 70, 80 other billion dollars in indirect aid to the government. And of course, Biden administration just announced another $325 million this week.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, that happened yesterday. I was amazed at watching the video of the Ukrainian leader sitting down with Joe Biden. Joe Biden looks pretty presidential by what he wears, but certainly his body language is not that of a president, Jim.
Well, no, and in that conversation, he started off reading his notepad, and of course, he's made a number of faux pas that we'll talk about in the last segment today this week, which are very embarrassing. But let's just talk about some of the things that are going to change the dynamic on the battlefield. Included in this $325 million the Biden administration is putting forward in this drawdown authority are HIMARS long-range missiles. Those missiles, they've been restricted to this point, as were the F-16 transfers, but now the F-16 transfers are open, and now these HIMARS long-range missiles are being approved. They make it much easier for Ukrainian forces to hit targets deep into either Russian territory or Crimea. They have a 300-kilometer, about 180-mile range. And what that means is that Ukrainian long-range artillery, which very, very accurate targeting, will be able to hit Russian troop staging areas and their logistics bases far away from the front lines. That's going to have an additional impact on Russian survivability and their ability to sustain their forces on these front lines in this continued slow-crawling, painful offensive. Jim, go ahead, Al.
Jim, I just want to ask you a question. It's pretty obvious what the United States is doing, and that means Russia knows that we are giving an enormous amount of support to Ukraine. How long do you think Russia will take that before actually possibly taking action against America?
Well, okay, so that is a very interesting question, and a lot of people are speculating that the Biden administration, in order to cover up from the failures domestically and overall in their global policies, are actually pushing towards a conflict with Russia in order to justify a continuation of this administration. You know, that always brings people together. They may calculate that that's the decision, and there are people speculating that that's what they're trying to achieve. But here's a dilemma for our radio audience that I talked about during the week that a lot of people don't realize. So as the Biden administration reduces U.S. domestic oil and gas production through restricting leases,
right,
the value and the price of oil is going up significantly. Russia and Saudi Arabia cut production. That also impacted price to where oil went over $100 a barrel this week. That means that we are indirectly, if not directly, helping Russia gain more resources to be able to fight this war, to get the money to fight the war. So we simultaneously are helping, by our own domestic policy, helping Russia get more resources to fight the war while asking to fund U.S. taxpayers to fund the Ukrainians at the same time.
Yeah, that does seem to be
Think about that absolute stupidity in foreign policy. We should be pushing to domestic energy independence. We will not get off electrical, I mean, sorry, off fossil fuels, as many people hope in 2030. And all we're doing right now is exacerbating a problem because of incompetent foreign policy, if
Right.
not actually foreign policy designed to undermine the United States' power in the world. That's what I fear most about.
That's a very good point, and I think our listeners really ought to listen to that. We are undermining our power, not we, but the administration does seem to be undermining our power, and I really hate to see that happen. But Jimmy, I have to say, when the rest of the world kind of reads some of the events that are occurring right now within America, I think that's just as effective in undermining our power as what you,
Absolutely. And let me link these issues with Ukraine back to Menendez, Senator Menendez from our, previous segment,
Sure.
head of the Foreign Relations Committee, and the corruption that's been going on with him selling ammunition or getting approvals to release ammunition sales to Egypt through these intermediaries, which is what the charges are. And then you go to Merrick Garland, which is actually the Department of Justice and the FBI are protecting the Biden administration from Joe Biden's policies that undermined legitimate investigations of Burisma in Ukraine over that business operation. So
Yeah.
these things are all linked together. And what it shows you is the level of deceit inside Washington and the manipulation and the power of war that is financially funding many of these issues.
Yeah, I don't disagree in the slightest, Jim. I really don't disagree, and I have to say, I think that Joe Biden is really, that is more proof that Joe Biden is really hurting the reputation of America, Jim, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And just to continue on, we've only got about a minute here left with
Yeah.
with Ukraine, but this is a slow slog. People are just massive numbers of people are dying on both sides.
Right.
As I've stated from the beginning, no one's going to win this thing. Everybody's a loser. It's just who loses the least. And the only way the Ukrainians survive is with U.S. support. Yet some of the decisions that are being made by Ukraine are undermining confidence in the United States and other Western allies to the point where the Polish have now suspended their military exports to Ukraine over grain export restrictions
Yeah.
that the EU put in place. So that's going to have a problem for the Ukrainians. And of course, the pressure in US Congress to stop funding this war means that they should be looking for peace, peaceful solutions rather than
Right.
continuing down this road. And unfortunately, I don't see any change in the administration to accept that type of a direction.
No, I don't either personally. Jimmy, let's take our break right now for the commercial break so that we can let those folks in a little bit early and get right into our final segment. Stick around, you guys. Welcome back. Time to wrap up KER Politics. Jimmy, you had a couple of points you wanted to make about the discussion we just had in the previous segment about what's going on in Ukraine.
Right. I wanted to clarify. I talked about the HIMARS system. It's not the system itself. That's the rocket system that launches the missiles that will have the range. It's actually the type of missiles, the ATACMS missiles that have the 300-kilometer, 180-mile range. That's an unusual capability the Ukrainians have not had up to date. Typically, that deep strike capability is done through either sophisticated systems like the ATACMS, but more importantly, through aviation. Since they don't have a competent or strong aviation capability, these ATACMS systems will be able to reach into staging areas for Russian soldiers and their logistics bases very deep into Russian territory or deep into Crimea. That's going to be very problematic for the Russians to sustain operations. So it is going to be a problem for them. And of course, the timing of this, as you're going into this the fall and the winter, the muddy season, yeah. when typically operations slow, it's going to make it much harder for Russians to go forward. And I think that's part of the reason why the decision was made so late, rather than potentially causing backlash, because the Russians are going to be angry about this.
They're going to be angry, but my question is, do you think they're going to put their anger out in front of them and look and attempt some kind of retribution to America?
Well, I think, I honestly think, as I said previously, that there may be some people that are hoping that happens as justification for this administration to keep in power. I know that the Russians, and you can actually look where they've attempted offensive operations and have not been successful. So they're having a tough time, whether you want to believe it or not. They're having a very difficult time trying to actually consolidate their positions and hold this Eastern Bloc. So, you know, this along the corridor, the ground corridor to Crimea, that's a tough thing for them to do. So how much they can do, it's hard to say. With more financial resources, they will be better off, with the price of oil going up again. So this contradiction between letting them produce more oil, sell more oil, and then funding the Ukrainians becomes very problematic, as you lose support from other Western nations and congressional pushback, and a lot of Americans are fed up with throwing this money out at Ukraine. That's going to be problematic. It will continue. It will make this thing go on for a long period of time. But Al, there are people that really want this to go on, and those people are selling arms and ammunition and making a fortune off of this war. And that's not just the U.S. military-industrial complex. That's Europeans, and that's also Russians. The Russians have the same type of pressures and the same type of people that want to sell, want this thing to continue on. They're making a fortune off of this war. Yeah. And unfortunately, that's the sick event that's happening right now around the world and watching this continue.
Great example of the effectiveness, or maybe I should say the really negative part of the military-industrial complex, which a lot of our bloggers have been mentioning over the years, not just over the last few weeks, but literally over the years, and I agree with them. My question, though, is something I just mentioned, Jim. If I were Putin, I have to say I would be very, very angry at America, and I would be looking for retribution that wouldn't hurt Russia itself.
Well, and we'll see what happens, but they're building, you know, stronger relations with China. They're building stronger relations through the BRICS. That potentially undermines all U.S., you know, the power the U.S. has had over the last, you know, half century. Yeah. And unfortunately, we're basically on our heels right now because of incompetent policies and progressive ideologies.
I think we're very definitely on our heels right now. And I think that the administration and the military advisors who recommended this action, because it obviously is beneficial for Ukraine, but I think it is incredibly detrimental for America, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, again, we're embarrassed. Same thing with Afghanistan and almost every foreign policy situation. Right. And what happened this week with Biden at the United Nations, it was absolutely disgusting to watch him say that we don't want to decouple from China, but we want to deconflict, which is basically saying we're going to sell out to you. Yeah. And we're going to let the Chinese and the communists kind of dominate the global policies as long as we're here. Yeah. And that shows the level of corruption and the influence that major corporations have over this administration. But some of the other foreign policy faux pas were he was actually doing a press conference with a labor leader and the president of Brazil. And at the end of that, he shook hands with the labor leader, but then he walked off as the president of Brazil began to walk over to shake his hands, and Biden just got lost and didn't realize it and just walked off the stage. And it was very apparent that Lula, the president of Brazil, was angry at Biden. This is just one in a number of different embarrassing situations where he's stumbled, he walked into flag. He's just done very damaging things to himself. A lot of people are now questioning. Over 77% of the country think he is too old to run again. And that becomes a real problem for the Democratic Party the longer they go before they establish a working operation to have someone fill his space.
But here's the deal, Jimmy. The deal is enter Gavin Newsom. That's the deal. I think that's going to be the hallmark of the news for the next few weeks. And I think it'll be the hallmark of our program next week, possibly that soon. Although maybe not Newsom taking Biden's place in the debates, the Democratic debates, I think it's very obvious what the Democrats want to do with Mr. Newsom, Governor Newsom.
Yeah. So Newsom, the Democrats, Joe Biden has asked him to go sit in at the Republican debates at the Reagan Library.
Right.
Remember, Trump's not going to go. But basically, it's raising the profile. And Newsom has been somewhat supportive of Biden recently and trying to, you know, rally the campaign process for him. So that's an interesting maneuver. And what that does is create fear in the Kamala Harris camp, because they're obviously hoping that she's the anointed, appointed future president. And they're going to struggle. This will cause an internal fight. And again, the longer it goes before somebody takes action to push Biden out, that becomes problematic if this little fight's going on underneath. And, you know, my speculation is that Kamala Harris won't be able to run for president with the Democratic Party won't support her. But Biden will have to back out. This is my theory. Biden will have to back out before too long, before the primaries. If he backs out, Kamala Harris moves up into the president. They put Gavin Newsom in as vice president, appoint him, and then he runs as somewhat of an incumbent from a vice president position. That's the strategy. If I was a Democrat and a strategist right now, that's what I'd be looking for.
It would be pretty bloody if that wasn't the strategy that they took. And I think in addition to being pretty bloody within the party, pretty bloody also within America, I think it would really be detrimental, quite frankly, Jim, to the Democrats. That's one reason. I just want to say one thing.
Yeah.
That's one reason that I'm amazed that the Democrats put Kamala Harris in as vice president. I'm amazed.
Well, I think they were expecting something different. And remember, the chair of that committee was Alexander Soros, the selection committee for vice presidential candidate.
Yeah.
So very interesting there. A couple other, like, you know, interesting points to consider. The Dallas mayor, Eric Johnson, Democrat, black man, just announced he's switching to the Republican Party. That's a very powerful statement right now.
Yeah, it is.
You've got Biden repeating himself in a fundraiser, like in a very embarrassing moment on a story of why he chose to be president in the Charleston thing. There's a lot going on out there right now that shows a lot of disturbances, and his polls are way down. But at the same time, you still have people that have no idea what's going on behind the scenes because they just don't pay attention to the media doesn't cover it.
And that's what could help the Democrats, no question about that. Hey, you guys, this was fun putting this show together. A lot of things going on right now. Democrats perhaps losing their footing, but we'll see. Hope you're back with us next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.